body.
Good morning, everybody. Today is Saturday, August 9th, 2014, and you're listening live with Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and Adriana's Mystic Connections. She is a wonderful, gifted angel reader, bringing guidance and wonderful, inspiring topics to you guys today. I do see we already have some callers lining up in queue, so if you are interested in a mini reading, please give us a call at 646-378-0378, and without further ado, I'd love to give you your host, Adriana.
Hello. Welcome. Happy August already. So can everybody hear me okay? I'm going to zoom in.
Yes.
Okay, good. You know, lately, synchronicity has just been a little interesting, and I know that part of the human journey is allowing ourselves to be human, allowing ourselves to be imperfect. We are not always going to hit the mark every single time. That is why hitting the mark is so wonderful. It's so great. When you get it 100%, when you get the bullseye, and it's like, yes, all right, look at that. So unfortunately, there needs to be rain to be flowers. There needs to be clouds to appreciate the sun. Basically, life is an adventure. Life is a journey. We may think our life is scripted, and to some extent it is, but we have freedom of will, we have freedom of choice, and part of the reason why we're here is to just enjoy that, to be that, not to be perfection. So perfection is always something to strive for and something to attain. And sometimes, every once in a while, it's realized. We did it. We made it. We're awesome. Every once in a while, we have that perfect, spectacular day. The problem is, and I'm going to be a little sexist here, is that as a woman, we sometimes are harder on ourselves than we are on the people around us. There was a Facebook post that I forwarded recently, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but it said something like, women should always be thoughtful and polite and sweet and considerate and generally should make sure that everyone around them feels that way and they feel wonderful and feels important. And women should always be well-dressed and well-groomed. And then at the bottom of the post it says, I recently discovered I'm actually a man. And I had to laugh at that because, honestly, I often feel like I do not fit the mold of what traditionally we think of as women. And yet, I find myself very womanly. I mean, but like if I'm watching like an action movie or something, I'm usually thinking of myself in the man's role. I'm not standing there screaming, waiting for somebody to help me. Well, sometimes I do scream or wait for someone to help me, but when I'm looking at my life, I think of myself as a person of action. And when I watch movies where they feature women as a leading character, I love it. It's like, yeah, kick butt, yeah. You know, when we think of action movies, and way back when, you know, we think of John Wayne. We didn't really have, back then, a female character who was that person. You know, we had Mrs. Cleaver, you know. We had the archetypes that we followed were perfect. They vacuumed in pearls with high heels. They did everything right. And if something went wrong, then they were able to sit and talk about it. I was rewatching a movie that I like a lot. And it's Secretariat, which is the Disney version of the Thoroughbred that won the Triple Crown in 1973. And it's a pretty good movie. If you have a chance to see it, go ahead and watch it. But it's got flaws. Well, I was recently interested in the life of the owner of Secretariat. And so I was just reading up on her on Wikipedia, and I was shocked. You know, back then they were saying, oh, look at this amazing housewife who owns this amazing thoroughbred who's won the Triple Crown, perhaps the best horse in the 20th century. And the truth is that this is a woman who was a trailblazer. First of all, she was actually divorced. So I'm not sure how that makes her a housewife. Secondly, she was running that farm. She was the person in charge, without a doubt. And I look at that movie, Secretariat, and I think that's why this movie is flawed, because it took out all the flaws from the main character. It took out the flaws. And it left what they thought was the ideal. And in doing so, they robbed us of really getting to know the actual person that Penny was. And that was the name of the character, the name of the person. The real person was Penny. So I also used to watch a lot because, unfortunately, I watch TV way too much. America's Next Top Model. And on there, they said over and over and over again, perfection is boring. It is not the beautiful perfection that we look for in the model. It is that little bitty quirk, that little bitty unique character that makes that model beautiful. It's that little bitty thing. Maybe it's the forehead that's considered too high, or the eyes are too big, or spaced too far apart, or the nose has got just that little bitty quirk to it. You know, when we think about it, you know, we think about Cindy. I can't even remember her last name. I hate when my brain doesn't work after 3 hours of sleep. But she has that mole, you know, and that's a beauty mark on her. Anybody else, a mole on their face, oh, my God, how can you be a model? And there she is, and she's got that mole, and that's what makes her beautiful. So it's the things that we might personally consider not to be perfection, with things that we may think, oh, I totally screwed that up, that actually are what make us human, what make us unique, what make us interesting, what ultimately other people want to know. You know, you're sitting down next to someone and you're talking about your life and you're saying, well, I have 3 children and they're all so well behaved and I'm so grateful and they're all getting A's and they're all doing everything right and I make dinner every night and my house is spotlessly clean and I go to work and my boss loves me and everything is perfect in my world. After half an hour of that, there's nothing left to say. Because first of all, that person is not telling the truth because we all have something. But second of all, obviously, that person, although incredibly blessed, yes, and incredibly got it all together, yes, is not pushing herself. Because if we are able to easily color between the lines, then we're not trying hard enough at a detailed enough drawing. I like to teach this subject, how mistakes in readings are actually blessings. And our topic today is going to be releasing the need to be perfect. It's going to be understanding how perfectionism can actually be a detriment. So I'm going to share with you a couple of different readings where mistakes happen or accidents happen. So the first one, when I was in Indiana, and I had been getting a little bit confused, and so I thought, I'm going to just write down the names that people give me, and that way I can refer to them in the reading. So if they give me their children's names, I'll know who they're talking about, or friends, and that way I'll be able to refer to the right names. So a woman came and sat down, and so we said, okay, 15-minute reading, okay, got it. And I said, okay, so tell me your children's names and their ages. And I almost never do this. And it was just that one day I thought, I'm just going to try it this way. And so she gave me 3 names. And there was 2 girls and 1 boy. And let's call one girl Elizabeth. Let's call the boy Alexander. And she also gave me the name of Izzy. So I'm looking, and immediately I was impressed that one of her daughters was not very mature. It was very, very childlike. And so I said, you know, it just feels like one of your children isn't grown up all the way, that just, you know, is still a child or has childlike characteristics or is needs to be more mature. And she said, oh, that would be my daughter. I said, you know what, I really did feel like it was going to be one of your daughters because she felt feminine. You know, and I said, she really needs to get, you know, with these ages, I mean, I would even say she was a little girl if you hadn't told me that she was in her 20s, because she feels just so childish. And the woman's looking at me and saying, I only have 1 daughter, and she's getting a little irritated with me. And I look down, and I'm like, but you said you had Elizabeth, and then your other child, Alexander, she's nodding, and I said, and then Izzy. And I looked up at her, and she just got white and looked at me. I mean, she was so pale. She looked at me, and she said, I only have 2 children, but I had a miscarriage, and if we had if she had been a girl, we were going to name her Isadora. And I just was like, wow. I wish I had that one on tape. So, of course, that feeling of that little girl who never got to grow up, that child energy, that was Izzy. And she came through because she changed what I heard. She changed, she used her mother's voice and changed it so I would hear something different. Now, Spirit does this a lot, and I love it every time they do it because I know that I'm hearing a true message. The unfortunate thing is I can't tell the difference between what they're saying and what I'm hearing. So a lot of times I will repeat back to people after they've said something to me to see their eyes widen and go, how did you know that? I'm like, okay. One of those things, huh? I was reading for a friend of a friend, and she had a rough life, and her husband had died tragically in a fire that was set to cover his death, because I forget if he was stabbed or shot. And she was like, I know it was someone who knew him. And I said, yes, I'm definitely getting that. And I said, can you just say some of his friends' names, and I'll hear the one, and I'll tell you, because I'll hear it. I'll know it. They'll tell me once you say it. So she said some names. I said, no, go back to the other one. And she said, what other one? And I said, you know, and this is not the actual name, but just for purposes of retelling the story. I said, you know, Jason. And she looked at me. She said, I knew Jason did it. I said, well, you said it. And she shook her head. And her friend was right there. And she shook her head, too. And she said, no, we didn't say Jason. We purposely didn't say Jason. But I heard it. Because Spirit took that and changed it. Now, those aren't mistakes. But in a way, they didn't say it, but I heard it. And that happens a lot. And a lot of times, we think we messed up. If somebody says house and we hear horse, as a reader, we need to pay attention to those little oopses. One of the things about being a perfectionist, and I can be a perfectionist at times, one of the things about being a perfectionist is you're always kicking yourself in the butt because you didn't quite do it 100% the way that you wanted it. Well, that was just great. If only it had been perfect, and it would have been perfect if I had just done blah, blah. Or even worse, it would have been perfect. It was so close to perfect if only somebody else had done blah, blah. So how many of us have done that? I know I'm seriously guilty. Of understanding that it was almost perfect, but complaining because it just wasn't quite 100%. It's only 98%. When we release the need to be perfect, like for instance, even right now, even this very moment while I'm talking to you, I'm kicking myself because I still can't remember that model's name that I see all the time. Crawford, Cindy Crawford. See her, know her. But in that moment when I'm talking, couldn't remember her last name. Well, that wasn't very perfect. Well, why didn't I write that down before I started this discussion? You know, how annoying, how belittling. Okay, I didn't remember her name. But then I remembered it later. At least I got the first name right. You know, why don't we, instead of trying to be Miss Perfect or Mr. Perfect, why don't we be accepting and allowing of ourselves to realize that we're human, that it's not always going to be perfection. I was reading about this in a magazine, and they said that sometimes 99% is not acceptable. Like, for instance, if in a hospital, in a nursery, if a nurse is 99% careful and only drops one baby out of 100, would that be considered acceptable? And the answer, of course, is, oh, my God, no. Because we don't want to drop any babies. I mean, we have to be 100% with babies, right? Except that we know that sometimes babies get dropped. We know that. So it's a true statement that some things we have to be as careful as we possibly can be. But when we are doing readings, we are shutting down our very important part if we are just trying to be perfection. When we are doing readings, we are essentially, we readers, a hollow channel. If you're clairaudient, as I am mostly clairaudient, then you're listening to hear what is said and then trying to make sure that message gets through. If you're clairvoyant, you may see visuals, you may see visual cues, which I'm also clairvoyant. And a lot of times I get symbols. And those symbols may be symbols, or they may be the actual thing. So for one of my symbols, a very smart person is someone who wears glasses. So I'll be reading for someone who has a child, and they'll show me glasses. And sometimes that means very smart child. But sometimes that means the child has glasses, or sometimes that means the child needs glasses. It would be really nice to know which one of those it is, and generally I get a feeling of what that is. It depends on the flow of the conversation. But you have to, if I was there and I was like, oh, I have to get this, I'm putting so much pressure on myself. And it's all about me, right? I have to get this. When you're doing readings, and actually readings or healings or things of service, anytime you get into that I have to be or I have to do or this is about me, you're in trouble. Because what you're doing is you are a conduit for a message from someone, usually in spirit, to the person here. And the least important person in the process is you. I know that's weird. I know that sounds strange. It may not make sense. But even though you're the one giving the message, you're the one, and maybe you're on stage, maybe you're giving messages on stage, maybe you're in a message circle, you know, you are not the focus. When you make yourself the focus, you'll pull yourself out of the stream. I like watching, one of my guilty pleasures is Long Island Medium. And I have taken to wearing white pants or white shorts because Teresa wears white pants and white shorts, and she looks fabulous, and I love her. I love everything about her. The one thing that that show does not do that I wish that it did, and maybe I just missed some recent episodes where they did it, is show the oopses or the mistakes, because that is so important. Not only because sometimes the oopses or the mistakes are the message that I illustrated earlier, but also because Teresa, just like the rest of us, is human. You know, Sylvia Brown was one of my mentors, one of the people who I learned from her books and from watching her. She was a trailblazer. And she really brought mediumship and a lot of different topics into the more accepted echelon that they are now. When people talk about Sylvia Brown, there seems to be two different camps. There's the, oh, what an amazing woman, what an amazing medium, you know, such a high vibration. And then there's the other camp where, oh, she told those people that their child was dead and their child was alive. And actually, it's on YouTube, and she was caught at least twice. So there's either the Sylvia Brown lovers or the Sylvia Brown haters. I'm a Sylvia Brown lover because I know that she was doing the very best that she could. And I will tell you something. It's very hard to determine if someone's dead or someone's alive because there is no death. It's just, instead of being in your body on the physical plane, you're someplace else. But the spirit remains the same. It's very hard as a psychic, as a medium, to say, I want to be 100% perfect, and then if I make a mistake, I'm going to be mad at myself and do a good reading. It's very hard because you're focusing only on you. You know, a lot of times when I listen to myself, oh, man, if I say you know one more time, I'm going to strike you know out of my vocabulary. I'm not going to do it. I won't. And then 2 seconds later, well, maybe two sentences later, I hear it again. It's ingrained. It's part of me. I'm trying to get it uningrained. But the truth is, it's about the message. It's not about how many times I say, you know? You know? So the question of the day when you call in is going to be, where has perfectionism in your life limited you, and what are you doing to change or release that from your life? So I think there's areas where we all are a little hard on ourselves. Maybe it's about family, and maybe you're hard on yourself because you're not happy with the way you treat money. Maybe it's you're trying to be perfect with your diet, and then when you screw up, you feel so terrible, you go out on a binge because why does it matter? Now that I've screwed up, it's too late. I might as well just throw it off to the side and eat the rest of this bag of potato chips. Boy, been there, done that. I long ago recognized that I'm a food addict. And one of the things that I am addicted to is chocolate. for me, it's very hard to eat a little bit of chocolate and leave the rest of the chocolate there. The only type of chocolate I can do that with is dark chocolate, because frankly, I like dark chocolate, but I don't love it. But you put a bag of Raisin Nuts in my hands, and those Raisin Nuts are going to be gone. And if you give me a half ounce of Raisin Nuts or half a pound of Raisin Nuts, either way, they're going to be gone very shortly. And we need to understand that part of the reason why we are on this planet is to enjoy being human. And being human means having an occasional one-night stand that we'd like to just erase from our memory. Oops. Or bouncing a check. Or betraying a confidence. Or missing an important meeting. Or a billion other, oh my God, I can't believe I just did that. Oh no. How in the world did I screw up that bad? Sometimes some people screw up so horribly they injure or hurt another person. I live in Michigan, and here in Detroit there was just a case that was decided as guilty. The man, I believe he was in Dearborn or Dearborn Heights, was woken in the middle of the night by someone pounding on his door, just rapidly pounding, scared the crap out of him. So he grabbed his shotgun and opened the door and shot through the screen door, because he was not willing to sit in his house and be a victim. And the woman on the other side of that screen door, who'd been pounding, was a 19-year-old unarmed girl who had just been in a terrible, tragic car accident and went running to the first house she could find and pounded on the door for help. You know, we all make mistakes. And I look at that, and I see the tragedy of it. Tragedy of it is that this man is going to prison. And this man is probably not ever going to do that again. So you could argue that taxpayer money is going to be used to support this man for food and water and shelter and medical and whatever it is that he's going to get. Obviously, he doesn't want to go to prison, but he's not specifically a danger to society, other than that when people pound on his door, he goes and grabs a gun. As long as the mistakes that we're making don't kill or injure someone else, we should be allowed to say, whoops, let's give ourselves the ability to say, I'm human, I forgive myself, I will occasionally goof up and make a mistake. And part of that perfectionism, oh, and parents, children have to be perfect, hello. Part of that perfectionism that we need to release is allowing the people around us to also not be perfect. Trust me, my mom was not perfect. There were so many things that she could have done better. So many things I wish she had done differently for me. And my kids will line up and spend hours telling you about all the things that I could have done much, much better, all the ways that I totally ruined their lives for a short period of time. But no one died. We're all gratefully here. My mom is on the other side. And when I talked to her, I was talking to her the other day, I was just complaining to her about the fact that she didn't do something as a child. She said, will you ever let go of that? Because she talks to me all the time. And I thought to myself, maybe I'm ready to let go of that. Maybe I'm ready to let go of needing her to be the aspect of perfection in my life. I am 52 as of August 2nd. And by golly, I'm probably ready to stop blaming my mom for things that have gone wrong in my life. So I am going to create an affirmation. And that affirmation is, I allow myself to be perfect in my human imperfection. And I allow others around me to be perfect in their human imperfection. And so it is. So who is our first caller?
Well, we have Mary from New York. And before we bring her on, I would like to ask Mary, what aspect of perfectionism do you need to release in your life?
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I suppose I am a perfectionist, actually. It's funny. yeah.
The synchronicity of the universe, yes.
Yes, but I guess the universe actually took care of my perfectionism. I was recently laid off, even though I did a good job.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's very humbling.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it just makes me wonder, well, does this mean that I was not on the right path? And, you know, because usually you think, well, people lose their jobs because they didn't do a good job. But in my case, it was more like the approach that was used. You know, I was a grant writer. Yeah, and so, you know, it's sort of like, you know, if the programs are going to grow aggressively, then you need to find an aggressive form of fundraising, and grant writing isn't it. Just like if you're going to be investing and you want aggressive growth, you wouldn't invest in bonds or mutual funds. You would invest more in stocks. So,
yeah,
you know,
but you'd be rolling the dice with stocks, too.
You'd be rolling the dice with stock, yeah. But, you know, my former employer is willing to roll the dice on somebody who has more of an individual giving background rather than institutional, which was the area that I was in. And, you know, it leaves me contemplating. Okay, so, yeah, I did try to do my best while I was at the organization, but now it's sort of like, okay, do I still look for a job that's still in this area because I have experience in it, or do I move in a different direction? So I'm at a crossroads
okay.
in my life.
I would like you to answer the question, which is, what area of perfectionism in your life do you need to release?
Well, I mean,
this is important for you. This is very important.
Well, I mean, I guess it would be to be perfect because, you know, I invested a lot in my education. I got into the best schools. And here I am, you know, with the risk of having my reputation ruined. But, you know, not for not a good reason, you know.
So this is what they're telling me, okay? Oh, and they said let you finish. I'm sorry, so go ahead, let you finish.
Oh, yeah, I mean, and, you know, through the words of my lawyer, you know, I got caught up in an untenable situation through no fault of my own, and yet I have this authority figure, you know, my former employer, who is trying to manipulate the situation to look like it was all me when I had no authority. And it was their strategy that got us off course, and I just did as I was told. But, you know, like the perfectionism in me while I was still working there was that, you know, I would do the best I could in the area that they allowed me to work in. And I was hoping that what I did would shine and give me recognition.
This is going to sound like I'm going to try not to be negative. Okay. This is 100% not your fault. And this is all your fault. And I know that those two things don't make sense, so I will explain. And I just want to use myself as an example for a moment.
Okay.
I have a day job, and I'm a project manager.
Oh.
And there's a joke about being a project manager, which is you have all of the responsibility and none of the control. You know,
mm-hmm.
Here's your project. It's impossible. Get going. You're already late. Like, oh, okay. So the situation that you, okay, so what they're saying, and I, Mary, just bear with me.
Okay.
What they're saying is that you dealt with this situation in the wrong way. And when you release imperfection or the need to be perfect, you realize there is no wrong way. There's just different choices. So you chose to move ahead with a model in a way you knew wouldn't be successful. And they're saying you didn't stand up for yourself.
I did, though. Well, maybe not
in the beginning.
Often.
Yeah.
Not in the beginning. I mean, I did say something actually almost a year ago at my first year review.
Yeah.
And I mentioned to my employer, my direct supervisor, after the budget for the following fiscal year was passed, that it was impossible to,
yeah.
you know, raise that much money, you know, like 400 something thousand dollars through grants.
But
extra,
your supervisor was part of the problem.
Yes,
what they're saying is that you need, the lesson here is that you knew, the lesson here is that you knew that this was impossible, and you kept thinking, well, I'll try really hard, and they'll see what I'm doing and how hard I'm working. And they saw that, but they looked at the bottom line, and there were lies told,
that it was my
about
fault?
About you and your performance. Yeah.
Yeah. The thing
yeah.
is that I thought that it
and
would be abundantly clear that it
no,
was there.
Because you, okay. And I am going to tell you that in a larger sense, this did happen so that you would be taken out of that job because you weren't growing in that job. And that
mm-hmm.
there is something wonderful for you coming up in a different field or a different category. Okay, so you said you have a lawyer. They're saying you need to let the lawyer mind his business. Is it a he?
It's a he, yes.
Okay, mind his business. So they're saying let the lawyer, because I think they're saying let the lawyer do his job. And I
mm-hmm.
think there's a part of you that doesn't want it to go that far, you know. But
yeah.
your lawyer will, you're lucky. He's good. You're lucky.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take care of you. Not everybody has a lawyer that does that. So
yeah,
let your lawyer do his job. And the lesson from this is scream. You know, write reports
scream?
All over the place the next time saying, this is a bad idea doing it like this. Because you told someone who took your information and filed it under Chapter 13 or whatever, they did not tell anyone else. You will be vindicated.
God.
You will be vindicated. Okay?
Okay,
but,
great.
There's something you want to write. What is that?
Oh, I wanted to write a letter to the founder of the organization, who is also the chairman of the board, just to tell her my side of the story. And I asked my lawyer if it would be advisable to go ahead.
And your lawyer
and
said no, probably.
He said no. Once you have legal counsel, the counsel will take care of any kind of official correspondence. But he said it wouldn't be a bad idea to talk to her down the line.
So what I want you to do, what they're saying is write that letter, okay? Write it. Put everything in there. Put all the details in there. Take all emotion out of it. You know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
And then put it to the side. And know that you'll send it one day, okay?
Mm-hmm. But then will I have a chance to talk to her? To tell my story? To negotiate?
You know what? I have got to move on. So I want to take a couple more callers, but I know that you're going to be, that this is going to be an incredible learning experience for you. You're going to come out singed, but not that bad, and in the end, it will be much better than you think it will be, and you'll be glad to be out of this. Blessings, blessings. And by the way, if you would like a full reading with me, you can contact me through mysticconnections.com. Or you can send me an email, mysticconnect@AOL.com. Mary, just blessings, and thank you for sharing that perfectionist part of yourself.
Okay. Thanks, Adriana.
Thank you. Okay, and who else do we have?
We have Laura from New Jersey, and before I bring you on, Laura, could you please answer the question, what aspect of perfectionism do you need to release in your life?
Hi.
Hi, Laura. Welcome.
Thanks for taking my call. So I am my harshest critic.
Mm.
And I get really down on myself because I'm a perfectionist and I'm not perfect.
Now, do you have a father figure in spirit? This is father-in-law. Could be a very close grandfather.
I do, yes. Aunt to both father and grandfather.
Okay, because father's stepping up for you. And he wants to tell you that he loves you. And he's saying that your body image is warped, that you're beautiful, and he wants you to remember that, how beautiful you are. Okay.
Okay, thanks. That's true, too.
Okay, and so go ahead.
So I'm trying to get healthy. I joined a gym. I do want to get this warped image of myself. You know, I am really a perfectionist, and it's really causing me a lot of grief. I'm not
Your father is saying, and you've got other relatives over there, too. They're all clamoring for attention. But anyway, your father is saying he loves you so much. And it's about getting healthy. That's what it's about, the health, not how you feel like you should look or the comparisons that you're making. And can you please stop making those comparisons? Because it hurts them, too. They feel all that emotion. Now, I don't know who I am to be talking because last night I'm taking pictures. We're all happy and everything. I look at my picture and I go, oh, my God, I'm a great blueberry. And I was eating and drinking and having a great time, and my body responded by bloating up, looking like I weighed 20 pounds more than I do. And you know, I'm like, oh. Okay, so. You know what? Why do we do that? All right. So there's a connection to your foundation with your health. There's a connection to your foundation.
What do you mean? What's that mean?
I think that I'm talking about root chakra. And I believe that I'm also talking about the sacral chakra, too. So I feel like elimination. And I feel like there's like a water issue, too. A water issue. So urine.
Okay. Well, I did have a yeast infection, but I took care of that.
Okay. What they want you to do is they want you to support your kidneys. And want you to support your adenoids, which are right up there, right above your kidneys, and they provide you with energy.
Okay. I know I'm severely anemic, so I have to start taking iron. Maybe that's what they're talking about.
No. They were talking about kidneys and water. How much water do you drink?
Okay.
Well, there we go.
they're right. I'm addicted. You know how you talk about chocolate? I'm addicted to chocolate and frappuccinos from Starbucks.
Oh, those are so good.
I know, the mocha especially.
Oh.
And so what happens is I would prefer to have a frappuccino rather than eat a meal. And that satisfies me. And
yeah.
It also hydrates me quite a bit, too, as you can imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I definitely need to get more water into me.
Yes, because they're showing me that as a problem area, and that will help balance you, and you'll feel happier. And I feel like that will also help you with your body image, too, that will help release some of what you're trying to release. So, yeah, you know, it's easy to say and hard to do. I'm terrible about drinking water. I always tell everyone, drink water, you know. Who should be drinking the most water? Do I drink enough water? Oh, no.
Yep.
So you and I are going to make a pact. We're going to drink at least 16 ounces of water a day.
Okay. Yeah.
All right. I'll do it if you'll do it. Will you do it, Laura?
I'll do it if you'll do it. You got to do it, though.
All right. I'll do it. I promise.
I promise, too.
Okay.
Spirits are listening to you, so you better keep your promise.
All right. I will. Yeah.
I felt my dad, I think, was blowing on my neck last night. Because I felt this cold breeze hit my neck last night.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. So I know they're around.
Now, you have a little pet in spirit. I think it's a cat.
No, I don't have any pets.
No, a cat on the other side.
No, I never did. I always wanted one.
Always wanted one? Okay, because
yeah.
There's a little cat purring near you. Are you at a point in your life where you can get a cat?
Oh, I'm in an apartment, and it's just cluttered because I want to buy a house, so I don't really want a pet, so I get my house, and I get everything organized and put away. Then I'll be ready for a pet, and that's part of my situation where I'm at.
Miss Perfectionism. You have to have everything right to have a pet. If we wait till everything's right, we'll never, ever do anything, but I understand apartments and cats are not always compatible. I understand that. So as far as your house goes, you need to save more.
Yes, I do.
Okay, so you have to figure out your savings plan. Oh, and that may mean, you know, which is no fun at all to hear, you know, cutting down on some other things to save, but you really do need to get out of there and get your house. You really do.
I definitely do.
So, you know, do your budget. And that's another thing that you and I have in common here. We got to do a budget. So.
Well, do you see a job coming for me?
Is it a small dog?
Is it a what?
Is it a small dog?
A small dog? What are you talking about?
Oh, what did you say? Job?
Oh, yeah.
I was done.
I said, I was thinking to myself, is somebody pulling her leg and a spirit saying something? Because I didn't say that.
Yeah. Do you have a dog in spirit?
No, my dad had a dog when he was young.
Okay. So dad's got dog, just so you know. Okay. So job?
Job. I'm on a contract, but I want a permanent full-time position.
You know what? Sometimes you can get a permanent full-time position with the employer you're with. I don't feel like that's the case for you.
No,
I feel like you need to go outside of where you are. And they're saying spend a little bit of money spiffing up your resume. I don't know why you'd need to spend money on that, but I feel like you want somebody to help you with it, an outside consultant. So, because I feel like you have job skills that are outside of the normal market that if you presented them correctly could get you some nice high-paying jobs.
Okay.
I feel like for whatever reason, your biggest skills are underplayed in your resume.
Mm.
So, well, I have to let you go. It's been so much fun talking with you.
I'm here. Thank you very much. I appreciate the reading. Thank you.
Thank you.
Drink your water.
I will. You drink your water. All right. So we only have 3 minutes left, but I think we have room for one more caller.
Hi. How are you?
Hi.
My name is Candy. Hi. How are you? Candace.
Oh, Candace. Hi, Candace. Welcome.
Welcome. How you doing? Thank you. Well, my thing is I have a problem with knowing that there's not a such thing as being a perfect mom. And I'm always trying to be a perfect mom to my little 3-year-old.
You know, and I
want to
tell you something. I feel like you're such a good mom. I feel like you're just overwhelming, like you're such a good mother. Okay. So I want you to know that. And there's so much that you do. So do you have children, right? Not child children?
I have a 3-year-old girl.
Okay. I feel like you're such a good mom, and that's what they want you to know, okay? Now, they are saying that you need to you need to learn different ways of controlling her behavior, okay? So they want you to do some different things with controlling her behavior because some of what you're upset about is your behavior towards her when she's not behaving appropriately. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, try different techniques. Not all techniques work.
Yeah.
You know, different children are, all children are different. My oldest son was, you know, someone who, if I disciplined, he behaved. My middle child was someone who, if I disciplined him, got worse.
Yeah.
So it's not a matter of, I don't know what I'm doing. It's a matter of, how does it work with this particular child? Okay, and when you do that, when you figure out the best way to work with your child, and I feel like you need to be very careful with words because she's super smart and she picks
up
a lot, and so you have to be extremely careful, and that you want to just be very, you want to have boundaries, but you don't want to be, for her, she really, no corporal punishment, and for her, very, like sitting out a redirection works best. Bless you. Thank you. I'm glad I got to fit you in, and I'm sorry you didn't get to ask a question, but God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Forgive yourself. Love yourself. Accept your perfectness in your human imperfections. Have a blessed day.